Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie. Loyalty doesn't always pay, so visit bonkers.ie today.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Helen, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. And it's this awful subject, as if it's not shadowed by what went before it, but they're not too far removed in the horror that it can visit on, especially young people, and that is bullying. You say when your son reported bullying, persistent bullying, the school's attempt to solve the problem was to sit your son down with the bully.
Yes, absolutely.
And tell us about that.
Well, he was bullied in secondary school and he was coming up to his, it was just after his junior third year.
Yeah.
And he was beaten up. He was attacked from behind, beaten up. He ended up with a burst lip. There had been a run up to this with personal possessions being taken, a lot of taunts, et cetera, et cetera. But he ended up with a burst lip and a bloody nose. And I was contacted by the school and asked to call to the school and bring him home.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to go back after that. But anyway, I persuaded him to go back.
Okay.
And he was brought in to the principal's office with the perpetrator. Now, it was agreed that he had absolutely nothing to do with this. He did not instigate the incident. And so he was asked, I asked him, you know, what happened, and he said, well, I said, sorry, we made up. And I said, and is that what you wanted to say? And he said, well, that's all I could say. I had to meet him when I went outside the door again, he said. So
that was the end of it as far as the school were concerned.
That was the end of it as far as the school is concerned. I was still waiting for a report on the incident for a number of weeks, and that stretched into months. And it took about 4 months for the report to come, and that was only after I contacted him to say that I was going to bring in the Gardaí.
What the report said?
Well, it just, basically there was nothing, it said nothing in the end of the day. It certainly wasn't a resolution to the issue, there didn't seem to be any corrective action.
Okay, and was it the end of it for your son?
Well, he left school and he didn't go back after that, so he didn't progress on to his leaving cert.
Wow, he left school completely?
He left school and he basically stayed in his room for two years.
And what do you mean? You don't mean literally stayed in his room for 2 years?
Well, more or less. You could say that's where he lived most of his time for 2 years. He just withdrew from the world. I mean, bullying, it's like what you said. I agree with what you said earlier. It's an abuse. It's abuse of a different sort. But in the end of the day, it ends up as trauma.
Yeah.
And you know, would you knowingly send your child to war?
Mm-hmm.
and I think schools can be war zones for some children. And I believe, and I've thought about this, I've had reason to believe me for a long time, the system does not value difference. These children have their own genius and their own place in the world, but there is no understanding, I believe, of this, or no value put on children's difference in schools. The system basically is based on competition, but there's no honouring of a child's unique journey through this life. And when
you say there's no comprehension of difference, what do you mean in your case? If you mean anything, and like every child is different, I take that.
The fact that he was so sensitive, he had hearing loss.
We're having difficulty with the phone line, but you're saying he had a hearing loss. And
he had a hearing loss, yeah. And so that would have kind of created its own maybe learning difficulties in the school. But it's even subtle differences that people, you know, that can be picked up and then they get targeted.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, it could be just, he could equally have been the best boy in the class, you know what I mean? Academically. But I suppose the reason I wanted to join the conversation was was that I just wanted to air it, first of all, because it's been a huge trauma on his life and on our family. Mm. And in this era, we're talking about climate change and biodiversity loss, and that is going to be absolutely a huge consequence to us as a species. But it's, what chance do we have of being empathetic with creatures with whom we share the earth if we cannot accept difference within our own species? And I don't, the schools do not value this. They are feeder, basically schools try to be, you know, feeders for the universities. And I think the trauma that's caused by bullying, it damages their self-belief, their self-esteem, their image, their self-confidence. And they develop a type of self-loathing in children that, you know, some children can. And so that ends up them withdrawing from the world and developing addictions. And that's their survival. That's the way they survive. You know, that leads to mental health issues. It leads to anxiety. My son would still suffer from, you know, flashbacks and anxiety, a lot of anxiety and post-traumatic stress. And that creates its own vulnerability as well, because children, they become very vulnerable, and then and you know, all they need, my son often said, all I need is a friend, and you know, that can be very hard for a parent to actually hear, and they will do anything to buy friendship or to have a friend. And that's the vulnerability that's built into the whole thing. It becomes a vicious circle. And, you know, a child needs, their basic needs are to belong and to feel valued. And I think with current, and I know the educational system does huge good, and there's, you know, there's fantastic children coming out of the educational system, and it's wonderful to see the successes, you know, but there's a huge gap in the educational system, I believe, and it needs to change. Celebrate difference, yeah. I think.
Here. And Alan, one of the points you make at the end of your communication with us is the thing that got me with the Anna Kriegel case was her need for a friend. And you would do anything for a friend. Like my son, he would have done anything for a friend.
He would have been naive enough to, you know, to try if somebody reached out to him, and said, you know, I'll be your friend or whatever, you know, like, he wouldn't have known the difference. He wouldn't have been able to. His need was so great. You know, they wouldn't have known the difference between the ones that were authentic and the ones that weren't, and not.
When he left school in fifth year, did the school come back, or any teacher or anyone from the school come back and say, like, he's a good lad, and we want? Did anyone make an effort to get him back into school from the school?
No, absolutely not. And he was never in trouble in the school. And I think, you know, those children, we need to start the conversation about all of this and really get down and deep into this and see, look, what is going on, because bullying has not been solved. This issue has not been solved. And what is okay? Is it okay for bullying to still exist in our schools even? And how much then is it? If it is, how much is it? 1%? Is it 10% of kids get bullied? What is it? Or do we have zero tolerance? And if it's zero tolerance, well, then we've got to put the systems and the structures and the understanding in place. We've got to understand what it is. Nobody seems to understand yet what it is and why it's there. And to me, the fundamental problem is we actually don't value difference. And kids pick this up. They pick it up like that.
And then there's a whole issue that's been raised in the last week, and that is that it seems a lot of schools, from the examples we're getting, there are exceptions, don't take bullying with the seriousness that it deserves because of the consequences that we've been hearing about that it can have.
Yeah.
Let me say with us, Helen, please. 51551. Martin is in the United States, so there'll be a bit of a delay. So, Martin, if you could tell your story, because you say you were bullied pretty much every day in school. Tell us why, when, and how long did it persist, and the effect it had on you, please, Martin.
Yeah, hi, Joe. Yeah, it was in the early 80s, north side. Now, my first year was great because I was in school with a bunch of people from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But the second year, I was put into a different class.
Okay.
And one teacher decided to single me out by telling all the students that I plucked my eyebrows. So that, it opened the door, because mm-hmm. the previous year was great. And it became open season on picking on me. Mm. So one kid in particular would every day would, you know, you're gay, fag, all the words. And I got word that he was going to beat me up after school from a few other students. Mm. So one of my friends said, you can't be here. You need to cut, which I did. And because of that, he attacked some other boy and bit off his ear.
Holy God.
Whole earlobe.
Mm.
So there's a 51-year-old man walking around missing part of his ear because this kid didn't get to me.
Yeah.
And that teacher ended up, he had badly fitted dentures,
mm-hmm.
and he was a technical drawing teacher, and he would come look at your drawing, and he spit, and I don't know if I laughed or what, but he grabbed me by the back of the head and smashed it into the desk. So I jumped up, and then it became I needed to get out of the class, and, you know, he's blocking the door, so kicked him, got out the door, ran home, and got my mother. So she said, let's go, and took me up to the school and went into the principal and, you know, told him what happened. And he said, well, the teacher said that you kicked him. And I lied. I said, no, I didn't touch him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, that's what he said. I said, I didn't touch him. He smashed my head for no reason.
Yeah.
And to talk about perfect timing, the door bursts open and the teacher comes in like a madman.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said, that's what you have teaching my child. And they had to restrain the teacher to get him out of the office. So that's part of my story.
So there's two separate episodes. Classmate who after come back to the part one, which is a teacher said to the class, this boy, Martin, we're calling you, this boy plucks his eyebrows.
Yeah, he said, you can tell that he's different, can't you, everybody? So everybody turned around to look at me.
Yeah.
And he said, look, he plucks his eyebrows. You can tell that he plucks his eyebrows. I didn't pluck my eyebrows. There was nothing different about me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he opened the door.
Then this guy in the class said, you heard he was going to. And this guy, this bully in the class, had a reputation.
Yeah, yeah. So I was in the class with him for second year and third year. But he bit the ear off, I think, in third year. And he got expelled for that.
I would have thought was he charged by the Gardaí, I wonder.
I don't know.
So when you heard this guy was going to beat you up after school because of the way the teacher had seemed to label you or humiliate you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So he chose somebody else because I wasn't. I don't know where I went.
Well, you slipped out, I hope, and you.
I did.
Legged at home.
Yeah. And my friends who witnessed it said he bit off his ear and spit it out. He bit off his earlobe. So there's a guy out there who never forgot that day, but I never forgot it, because he looks in the mirror, he's missing part of his ear.
And it could have been you.
Yeah, absolutely. But the teacher was the one who started it. Because nothing was being said to me.
Yeah, I understand that.
I wasn't really getting singled out.
Yeah.
So...
Any other episodes in the school? My God, when
your
mother said brilliantly, "Is this what you have teaching my
son?" This is the animal.
What happened? What happened in the next few weeks in school for you?
I was taken out of that class.
Okay.
So I didn't have him as a teacher anymore.
All right.
I can't even remember the full details of it, but it continued then till I left school at 14 because of what he had done. Then other kids just picked up on it. I became an easy mark. So it became a daily thing, even after that kid was expelled.
Mm-hmm.
Other kids just picked up on it. So I left school when I was 14. And that was because another teacher who had... I loved this teacher. He was great.
Mm-hmm.
But they would take his keys nearly every time we had this class and put them in my bag. So he would say, "Okay, where are the keys?" And I would reach in and say, "Here you go." And I'd give him back the keys. And this went on for a couple of years. And this one particular day, he lost it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I think you're the one taking the keys." And so he threw the keys down the desk and said, get the mallets out of the cabinet. I was shaking because I thought, wow, I like this teacher.
Yeah.
So I went to the back of the class, and it was a metal cabinet. And because I was fumbling with the keys, I was nervous, and I didn't know what was going on. And just as I went to open the door, he threw a chisel at me, but more to frighten me, to hit the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened it, and I pulled out a mallet, and I threw the mallet at him, and I ran out. I didn't hit him.
Mm-hmm.
I ran out of school, and that's how I left school.
You never went back?
No.
Age?
14. Yeah. So.
And looking back.
I did the group search.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I went back and did that, but that was it. I turned 15 in the summer, so...
You could leave.
It was May, June.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could leave then. So that was my last day in school. And one of my other teachers, who I loved, tried to grab me as I'm running along, and I just said no.
Did anyone anyone try to get you back into the school, Martin?
Yeah, my parents did,
yeah.
But I said no. I can't, because I trusted that teacher.
Yeah.
He knew I didn't take the keys. It was, you know,
yeah.
It was all because of the technical drawing teacher who started the whole thing. But, you know, it was probably the best thing that ever happened, because I found this kind of like an ANCO course.
Brilliant.
And I tried to lie about my age, and they caught me. And they called after my birthday and said, "We've got a spot for you."
Brilliant.
So I went to do this class, and it was just basically, it was a course of kind of misfit kids from everywhere, all over Dublin.
Okay.
So it was supposed to be for 6 months, and then they gave me another 6 months.
And where was that? Where was that, Martin?
It was in a laneway off Dame Street. It was in like the Friends Center.
Okay.
It was like a Quaker building.
Great, yeah.
And it was
Brilliant.
Associated with ANCO. So you did upholstery, electronics.
Super.
It was the best thing, you know, because all the kids were... just slightly different, or, you know, just weren't fitting in with whatever schools they were in. It was the best thing that ever happened.
And where did you go from that, Martin?
After that, I ended up working for my father. Mm. He was a truck driver. I worked with him for a couple of years, and I won a green card. So I ended up moving to Boston, and I moved to Boston on Thursday, and I started working in Gillette on Monday. I ended up working in Gillette for 10 years. So I thought they were just handing jobs to everybody.
Okay.
But and I've lived in the States since.
What's that, 20, 30 years?
Yeah, I was moved here when I was 21.
Okay. And as you say, the man whose ear was bitten off with his bully would be around 50, 51 now.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Okay.
And because, you know, I've told this story to a lot of my friends, and I think, you know, there's some guy looking at himself every day who's missing part of his ear because they definitely didn't attach it. Yeah. So that guy is out there.
Yeah.
And somebody knows him too. But it's because of me that he's missing his ear. Because the animal that I went to school with just picked on him.
Yeah. Well, it's because of that animal, as you call him, that the man is missing his ear.
Now, thankfully, hearing the stories on your show, you know, I didn't have, you know, trauma. I haven't had.
Yeah, good, good.
You know, it didn't. Yeah. It didn't destroy me. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, as you say, that course you did seemed to be the making of you, from what you're saying.
It was.
And from what you're saying about, I'm only surmising that you can reveal if you wish in that sense. From what I'm saying, you seem to have done well on the work front anyway in the States. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I manage an engineering company now.
Well done.
The best thing was that course when they called and said, you know, we knew you were lying, but we really like you. And it changed everything because the 2 years of hell in that school to enter into this, you know, nobody's picking on anybody. Nobody cared.
And as you got on your feet, Martin, did you contact the school subsequently when you were settled in America? And obviously,
I did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I contacted the school a few years ago. I sent them an email.
And
nothing. They didn't. I told them exactly what happened and how I left the school. And they did nothing. Now, it looks like a different school than it was in my day.
Yeah, obviously. Okay.
But no, there was nothing. So
yeah, because schools in the main do value their past pupils. They do rely on them for fundraising and anyway, activities in the school. But it's a pity the school didn't even... I know the principal probably said, well, I wasn't even here, but still, a school is a school and an institution. I know they change. Hopefully, a lot of them are hearing, if they're not hearing the actual stories because of the time, school time today, they will hear about these stories because they are, as you say, they are chilling.
Well, for a teacher just to say one sentence to change somebody's life, for 2 years, it to me is just unbelievable. Just for some reason, that teacher knew probably that I was gay, you know, which I didn't care about.
Yeah,
but picked up on that and decided I can get everybody on my side by picking out this one kid because. Now you have every kid laughing at you. Mm. And it was just a couple of sentences. You could tell he's different. I think he plucks his eyebrows. I just happen to have, nicely shaped eyebrows.
Yeah. Four words. He plucks his eyebrows.
Exactly.
And changed your life.
It turned
and even
the tides.
And by the way, even me saying it, or you saying it, doesn't, with your, the way you contextualize it, we can't even communicate the tone in which he said it, the way he said it, was a, from what you say, was sneering, jeering. He plucks his eyebrows, my God.
He plucks his eyebrows. And now, you know, the previous year when I was with my friends in my other class, you know, I was never a target. I had a great set of friends, you know, still friends with them. But it was just when I changed into this other class that's, and that teacher decided to do that.
At a really, for 14, 15, 13, 14, 15.
I was 12, 13, 14. Yeah.
A difficult, a changing time for young people and a time when you go through insecurity and you go through difficulties and you go through body image issues, etc. For young men and young women, and then to have a teacher sneer at you like that with those four words is shocking. And maybe if people are listening, they will see the import. I'm glad. Do you come back to Ireland much, Martin?
I do.
Good.
I do.
Great.
I go back almost every year.
Super. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Christmas. Christmas in Boston or Christmas in Dublin? I'm thinking Dublin, from what you're saying.
It is Dublin.
Yeah.
No, it'd be Christmas here. My family, my sister, husband, and the kids, they come over. My brother comes over other times, so we see each other. You know, the world's gotten a lot smaller, and it's a lot easier. Just listening to your program over the, you know, the past week, it's hearing those, they're heartbreaking.
I know they are.
Stories. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, it didn't wreck me.
Yeah. And even you telling your story is helpful, I think, to other people as well, Martin. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. What time is it in Boston now? Where are we? It's early morning, is it?
It's 20 to 10.
Okay. Are you going into work?
I am in work.
Oh, you are in work. Brilliant. But I know leave and holidays, even Christmas time. Well, you have Thanksgiving in a couple of weeks, haven't we? The Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. Black Friday.
That's coming up.
Black Friday and all that.
And another friend of mine had said an interesting thing to me a few years ago.
Okay.
She was taking her son to school and noticed that one of his friends wasn't going to be in that class. Mm-hmm. And she asked the mother, how come you're keeping him back a year? And she said, well, we know that he's different.
Mm-hmm.
And we want him to be a little older and a little smarter, because they had accepted and recognized that we think our child might be gay. And I thought it was the most brilliant thing for anybody to do, to give a young child, we want you to have a little bit of a leg up because you're going to need it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
thankfully, people are much more conscious of that. And contributions like your own add to that growing knowledge and growing sensitivity to different issues. Martin, kind regards. And thanks indeed for your contact. Happy Thanksgiving, as they say.
Thank you.
And hope to see you soon. But you've made, looking at the reaction, you've made an enormous impact on people today. On this, I mentioned Black Friday. It's a good Friday after listening to you and how you handled that awful, awful situation that you were catapulted into by those four words by that cruel teacher. Martin, thanks indeed. And kind regards to you and your family. 51551 Joe at rt.ie.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551 and Joe at RT.ie. Jude, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. You say, I was in boarding school in the 1980s. I was bullied by priests and students, and as a result, I bullied back.
Yeah, you were kind of conditioned into doing so. Well, not so much necessarily bully back, but in boarding schools, I suppose, you know, everybody has a slag name or a nickname or whatever not, you know, so you would have slagged guys off. And sometimes, and it's only sometimes when you saw the reaction of some of those guys that you realise by calling them a slag name, you were bullying them. But you didn't intend to or set out to do that. But I suppose you were conditioned into bullying from the get-go. Well, I was certainly was in my experience in boarding school. I was only there and... I was only in there about 2 weeks at the time, and my particular story was I was just in my dormitory one night. There was a small dormitory. There was six people in it.
Yeah.
Priest came in. We were out of bed. I was probably the only one the same size as them, so he decided to lay into me with a weapon pipe. And then the next morning, that was a Saturday night, the next morning in the oratory or the chapel in the college, he was given the mass, and his sermon was based around do unto those that what you would expect them to do unto you. And
okay.
I stood up in the oratory and said, if that's the case, I should whack the shit out of you. So
you said that openly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of brought 5 years of hell then after that.
Oh God.
And it wasn't just him; it was every member of the priest staff that was in the college at the time. But you know, bullying. I suppose the thing I got on to you and talking to your sister about, I says bullying is inherent. I suppose it's in us all in one sense or another. None of us want to ever do it. A lot of people don't want to ever do it, and some people it just overtakes them and becomes a natural aspect of them. And I suppose in the world, we all know the history of World War II, and a whole nation was incited to bully one race in particular. But in light of Anna Creagel and what's gone on in the news this last while, people, and I suppose more so than ever, in educational side of things, everybody has to be educated about bullying, because it happens in the workplace, it happens everywhere. But the starting point for education and bullying, and you said it during the week on Wednesday, I think, when Alan was on the phone, you know, it starts in schools. We really have to educate people about bullying in schools, because bullying is happening by adults to kids in schools. And then it's happening by kids to kids. And it's in the world today with social media, it is so vicious and so vile. It's not even funny. And it's so heartbreaking. It rips you apart. I mean, for 5 years, I struggled to get through that college.
Yeah.
I absolutely struggled. Because I was being bullied on a regular basis. And the worst thing is to be bullied consistently. You know, there was guys in my school or in my college or in my year that would have got bullied every now and again or maybe once a year or whatever. But when you're getting it week in, week out, and for 5 years, it's a very, very, very hard thing to get through for any person. You have to be really strong. And some people aren't strong enough for it. And I'm not saying I was. I definitely struggled with it later on in life, but I'm fine now. But
okay.
bullying takes an awful effect on people, and we, because of what's in social media today, you know, you have trolling, you have everything. Bullying takes a whole little different format nowadays as well too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's so detrimental, and it does so much damage to people. It's not funny.
As we're hearing, I'm glad to hear you're well, John. Appreciate it, and I see from what you say, Jude. What you say this point when the priest stood up and said, "Do unto others," and then you had the courage to stand up and say, "Well, I should have." If that's the case, in as you say that from the pulpit, I should have retaliated against you, and then unfortunately he took it out on you. But Jude, thanks indeed. That's Jude 5-1-double. I need to have two breaks to get going. Jude, thanks indeed. 5-1-double-5-1. And kind regards.
Jude Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Grace, unto others. You took that literally when your 10-year-old son was being bullied. What happened?
Yes. Well, they started school together at 4.5, 5, but there was no issue until they were 10. So I went through the usual channels, went to the school, who assured me they were doing everything they could, brought the parents in, they were involved. The policy at the time was to sit everybody down together, including the children together.
Okay.
It didn't change anything, but
yeah.
time is of the essence. So I wasn't going to hang around and wait for something else to happen. So I sat him down and we decided that the only way to tackle it was head on, and he was going to have to fight this bully to gain some kudos, I suppose, and to just assert himself. So we practiced, literally. I showed him how to throw punches and where to land them, and we decided where he was going, because this had to be very public. I said, you have to do this when all the teachers are looking and when all the boys can see and when all the parents are around. So we picked a spot in front of the school where everybody came to the front gate. There was a small green area there. So that's where it happened. And at the time, my son was a tall lad, mm-hmm. had never fought anybody, but he realized that he had to do this to kind of shake it off. So he got stuck into this lad in front of everybody. And of course, I got a phone call within 10 minutes to say, both suspended and this is very serious. And I said, that's absolutely fine with me. And
just to be clear, Grace, not the best, yeah. but your son was age 10.
Yes.
He was being bullied by another 10-year-old.
Who was head and shoulders shorter than him, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you sat there, well, you stood up with your son and taught him how to throw a punch.
No, he would have been tall at the time.
Okay, I know that, but you, yeah. you okay.
I did.
You told him the venue and the time.
Yeah.
And who the audience should be, i.e. teachers.
Yes, absolutely.
And were you not worried, one, that your son would be injured, or two, that the other fellow would be injured?
No, because I had met the other fellow and I knew them both. Mm. And I knew this wasn't going to last very long because everybody was watching. And it was more the embarrassment to the bully that ended it. But I can say without doubt that they spent 2 more years together in the same class and he never looked at my phone again. Never.
So it worked. And what did the school do about this fight?
As I said, I got a phone call immediately to say that my son had been involved in a fight with another boy whose name I asked for. And I was told, oh, no, we cannot tell you that. So I named the boy and they said, yes, that's him. And I said, that's absolutely fine with me. I told him exactly what to do. And I know all about it, so thank you. For the suspension for 2 days and we'll see you on Friday. That was it. End of, literally.
Okay, and both boys were suspended for 2 days?
Yes.
Okay. How are things now? And it's I know it's 18 years ago from.
Absolutely fine. What I think that one way to end bullying, and I know it's easy for me to say because people go through an awful lot more, and I don't know what the extent of it was.
Okay.
But one way is to land a very severe and immediate shock on the bully, because at the end of the day they're simply hiding behind something else and other people and all sorts of doors. So you just get straight in there. You just have to deal with it, because time is very, very important.
Okay.
Especially with children.
Okay, Grace. Thanks indeed. That's Grace in Cork. Mark McGrath on sound. Laurie Davis, the BCO. Richie Byrne in research. Produced today's programme, produced by the series producer Fergus Sweeney, and Ray Darcy is next.